Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1307, we feature three new stories by Life Rattle writer David Key. David Key was born in Toronto in 1990. He grew up around Victoria Park, moved to Markham for high school, then Mississauga for university. David had moments of deep depression during his teenage years, until he started speaking and listening to other people, people with real problems. David practices lucid dreaming to delve deeper into his imagination and mine nuggets of ideas for his painting and writing. He also enjoys basketball, Japanese animations, pre-90s music, listening to George Carlin, scribbling rants in his journal, and awkward conversations. This is our second podcast featuring the stories of David Key. Tonight's stories are quite different from the three more serious stories we presented on Life Rattle number 1296. Although tonight's stories are presented from a more humorous standpoint, you will discover a gravity in each that catches you by surprise. Beneath the comedy, these stories share a dangerous edge that leaves you feeling unsettled, unexpectedly so, in a way that reminds me of the writing of Raymond Carver. In our first story tonight, we see the bloom of fresh romance as a young couple sit in a park and discuss seemingly frivolous topics. Let's listen now to Sour Patch Kids, written and read by David Key.
Sour Patch Kids by David Key. Farah and I hold hands as we walk down a park pathway paved with maple leaves colored in the many tones of a young autumn. Farah points to a wooden bench under a tree. We can sit over there. I swipe orange leaves off the bench seat. Do you think there are trees on other planets? Farah asks. Probably, I say. There are millions of planets floating out there. One of them must have a tree-like thing. Farah unwinds the brown scarf around her neck. She reaches into her pocket and pulls out a pack of Sour Patch Kids candy. She tears the top and holds the pack in front of me. I smile and squeeze my fingers into the bag. I pop a green kid into my mouth and chew. I hate Sour Patch Kids. I hate how they stick to my teeth. I hate the sour, sugary shit sprinkled on them. I lick the green gunk off my teeth with my tongue. A squirrel scans the yellow grass. Do you think there are squirrels on other planets? I ask. Actually, when I was little, I thought there were big blue squirrels hopping from one planet to another. These squirrels dug craters looking for space acorns. Space acorns, I grin. You should write children's stories. Farah smiles and offers me some more Sour Patch Kids. I grab another sour brat. If I could be any animal, I'd like to be a squirrel, Farah says. Why? All they ever do is shove nuts into their mouth. Wait. Fuck, that sounded wrong. Farah leans her head on my shoulder and giggles. Her frizzy hair tickles my neck. She sits up, fixes her hair, and pops another Sour Patch Kid into her mouth. I don't know. I think life would be simple and fun as a squirrel, Farah says. Hang out with my nutty husband in our maple tree house. How about you? What kind of animal would you be? A bird. Preferably an owl. I've thought about this a lot. I want to fly. There are flying squirrels. Falling down slowly is not the same as flying, I snicker. Farah shrugs. Well, what is up there that is so special anyways? We look up. Maple tree branches frame milky clouds that blend with an orange sky. A red leaf drifts to the ground. I guess I think of flying as freedom. Perhaps. Farah holds the Sour Patch Kids pack upside down. A green kid and a red kid falls onto her palm. She hands me the green one. I remember you said you didn't like cherry-flavored candy, Farah says. She claps the sugar off her hands. What is your idea of freedom, Farah? Farah stares at the ground and nibbles on the Sour Patch Kid. This, she says. This. What do you mean? This. Sitting down, wherever I want, and talking about whatever I want with whoever I want. I frown. Is there a place where this is not allowed? Iran, to name one of many. Ignorance flushes my cheeks. Right. I remember you told me your mother is from Iran. Mom was forced to wear a veil. She was not allowed to speak with men. She spoke to others in secrecy. So she moved here. The squirrel scampers away. For several minutes, we remain silent. Unlike our other quiet moments, this one feels different, steeped in something other than awkwardness. Farah takes my hand. She glances at my lips. Our eyes close. Our noses cuddle. Our lips touch. I taste a hint of cherry. Farah? Hmm? I need to tell you something. I'm listening. Farah's toes point inward. I hate Sour Patch Kids. Farah's shoulders drop. Her smile lifts the small mole on her thin chin. You're such a dork, David. Farah rests her head on my shoulder. We gaze at the little white moons in our nails.
That was Sour Patch Kids, written and read by David Key. Tonight's second story peeks into the same relationship sometime later, when underlying tension rises during an innocent evening of ice cream eating and movie watching. Let's listen now as David Key reads his story, Ice Cream.
Ice Cream by David Key. Farah stands on her tiptoes and wraps her arms around my shoulders. I wrap my hands around her waist. We kiss a long kiss, then a quick one. I smile and pull a pink tub of Baskin-Robbins strawberry shortcake ice cream out of a paper bag. I have to plug in the DVD player, Farah says. She gathers her hair and ties it back with a red scrunchie. Could you bring the ice cream and spoons? Uh-huh. My voice cracks. I love it when you wear a ponytail. Farah smirks, rolls her eyes, and hops down the basement staircase. I scrape two large scoops of ice cream and plop them into two purple mugs. I grab two spoons from the dish rack and trot downstairs. What are we watching? I ask, and slouch beside Farah on the brown beanbag couch. Farah holds the DVD box up in my face. I remember you said you wanted to watch Ponyo. I love you, I say, and hand Farah her ice cream mug. Let's watch. Hey, Dave. What's up? I can't eat ice cream with this spoon. What is wrong with the spoon? I glance at my spoon. It's identical to hers. It's too big. This is more of a soup spoon, you know? A soup spoon. Ha ha. How cute. Seriously, let's watch the film. Can you get me a little spoon, please? Are you serious? Farah nods. I have my ice cream with a little spoon. If you eat ice cream with a big spoon, it's finished after a couple of bites. That's ridiculous. You're still eating the same amount of ice cream. I know, but you savor the ice cream better. It lasts longer with little bites. It doesn't last longer. You're just eating it slower, which you can do just fine with that spoon. David, may I have a little spoon, please? Okay. Okay. I lunge up the stairs. I dig out a teaspoon from the counter drawer and head back downstairs. I hand the teaspoon to Farah. Here you go, I say. All right, Ponyo. David, this is a teaspoon. Yeah, you said you wanted a little spoon. But it's too little. The ice cream will melt before I can finish it. I sit up. Okay, now you're just fucking with me, right? I'll get my own spoon, Farah grunts. I stare at Ponyo's title menu. Farah returns. I look at the spoon in her hand. How is that spoon any different than the teaspoon I brought? It's rounder. Farah waves the spoon in my face. The teaspoon is too narrow. Whatever. I like my ice cream with little spoons. What is your problem, David? I have a problem. Please, you're the one with spoon issues. Farah purses her lips and exhales through her nostrils. Okay, jackass. Let's say we're having soup. Would you use any spoon for your soup? Any reasonable spoon. I wouldn't use a cocktail spoon or a fucking shovel. You see? Farah jabs my shoulder. Why wouldn't you use a cocktail spoon? That is a totally different kind of spoon, Farah. All these spoons are similar. You know, in restaurants, they have seemingly similar spoons, but one of them is for the soup, and the other is for dessert. This isn't a fancy fucking restaurant, Farah. Don't raise your voice at me. I didn't raise my voice. All I wanted was a freaking spoon. And I got you a goddamn spoon. Are we seriously having this argument? Farah and I stare at each other in silence. Ice cream drips down the edges of our mugs. Let's just watch the movie, Farah mumbles and crosses her legs. Ponyo plays. I frown at the screen. Farah glares at her ice cream and pokes it with her little spoon.
That was Ice Cream, written and read by David Key. The cast of characters expands in tonight's final story to include a group of young men gathered together at a friend's place to take it easy, drink shots, and eat sushi. But still, at the core of the story runs the romance we followed in tonight's first two stories. Let's listen now as David Key reads his story, Sushi.
Sushi. Sushi by David Key. Keaton nudges me with an elbow. You're right, Dave. I down my third shot of Sailor Jerry rum and pick up the Swiss Army knife next to Keaton's beer. Keaton shifts in his seat. I stare at a shrub in Wren's garden through his kitchen window. I'm fine, I hiccup. Things are a bit rough with Farah. Wren and Ethan carry a six-pack of Dead Guy Ale and a platter of sushi to the dinner table. I peel the bottle opener from the bottom of the Swiss Army knife and crack open a Dead Guy. Whatever, David. Keaton pours a shot of Jack Daniels. There are plenty of other bitches in the ocean. She is not a bitch, I snarl. We just argue a lot these days about stupid shit. Look, David. Ethan pats me on the back. It's not over yet. I mean, did she ask for a talk? What do you mean, a talk? Girls usually say they need to talk before a breakup. Isn't that only in dramas and movies and shit? It happens. It's happened to me before. I shrug and pick up a pair of chopsticks. Cheer up, David. Wren smiles. Forget about Farah for now. Let's kick back and relax tonight. Sushi and beer. Keaton hands Wren, Ethan, and me shot glasses filled with Jack Daniels. We raise our glasses. We drink. Keaton grabs the last piece of sushi off the platter. All right, Ethan rubs his hands. Poker time. Hold on, Wren says. Are you guys full? There is room in the tank. Keaton smiles. Why? There's more? We watch Wren jog over to the kitchen counter and jog back. He places a small bag on the table. Pale pink cubes squish together in the airtight bag. What the fuck is this? Ethan scowls. I'm not sure, Wren says. My brother says it's shark from Iceland. It's supposed to be a delicacy. I don't know, Wren, I say. It looks weird. Is it raw? Not sure. Wren pierces the bag with a knife. My brother said it's called hakarl or something. Four maple chairs tumble to the floor as we fumble away from the ferocious funk of the fetid fish. Wren pinches his nose. Keaton crouches and gags. I press my back against the wall. Ethan crawls to the corner. Jesus fucking Christ, save me, Ethan wails. Rock, paper, scissors, Keaton gasps. Loser bags that shit and throws it outside. How can something look so innocent but smell so fucking terrible? I cough. Wren, we got to get that out of here. Your place is going to smell for weeks. Hold on, guys. Wren clears his throat. This was shipped all the way from Iceland. We should give it a try. We glance at each other. Keaton and Ethan shake their heads hard. Just a bite, I say. Wren and I shuffle back to the table. Wren squeezes several chunks out of the bag onto a plate. I pick up my chopsticks and poke a piece. Juice bubbles out. Okay, Wren says. Ready? I pour a shot of Sailor Jerry into two shot glasses and hand one to Ren. We drink. We raise our chopsticks. We chew. Ren stops chewing and slowly inhales. I shut my eyes after several more chomps and swallow. The taste of tang and sweet bleach and briny fish lingers on the back of my tongue and creeps down my throat. My throat constricts, fighting to keep the shark at bay. I gag. I dash to the trash can. My throat expands. Shark, salmon, tuna, and eel, and Jack Daniels, Sailor Jerry, and three dead guys splutter past my lips. Mucus dribbles out of my nostrils. Keaton and Ethan curl and cackle like a pair of hyenas. Ren pats my back. Are you okay, David? Ren's voice quivers with concern and restrained laughter. I nod and spit. Ren tosses the hakarl, the chopsticks, and the plates into a garbage bag and runs outside. What did it taste like? Keaton giggles and hands me napkins. Like fish drenched in sweet, sour, salty bathroom cleaner. I blow my nose and spit. My cell phone vibrates in my pocket. Hello? I croak. David, Farah says, I think we need to talk.
That was David Key reading his story, Sushi. This concludes Life Rattle number 1307. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded David reading his stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next time for more new stories.